The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, David Doval. How are you?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
All good. All good. We grateful for dodging the bullet that was Ian, and just praying for the people in Florida. That's just a big fat mess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll certainly do that. Got several friends in that area. It's tough.
Yeah,
tough stuff.
We'll talk about anything that folks want to talk about, because we've got lines open at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. How long am I doing that? I forgot the number. The caffeine.
Mm-hmm. And how long you been awake?
Four-ish.
Oh, my goodness.
But I didn't start the coffee pot till much later. All right. Let's see. Well, we got there's good stuff to talk about. David, I was kind of like trying to think of a theme for today's show because, you know, we're all into that, right? Kind of like dealer's choice, maybe, because I wanted to talk about flooring, and I guess I kind of got tweaked on it a little bit last week I can't even remember why it came up, but there's different flooring options, right? So I wanted to talk a little bit about what do you want to put on the floor if it's not going to be hardwood or carpet, and I thought we could take a little bit deeper dive into LVT. Help people understand how to make a good decision about that, because there's a lot of options out there and they're good, but absent a couple key points or measurements or whatever, you could make a less than optimal decision. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, so the other dealer's choice piece or aspect was shower walls. Options for round shower walls, as I was thinking about inside projects. But Wesley's already dialed in, so let's not yammer here for a minute. We'll jump on the phone with Wesley. Wesley, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Good morning. Thank you, gentlemen. Years ago, my home was built, 1973, mm-hmm. and we've lived with a soap dish not attached to the wall because I don't know how to do it, and I'd like to reestablish that connection permanently. Can you tell me how to reattach a soap dish to a tile wall?
Yeah. David, absent mechanical solution, isn't probably power grab the best solution?
I think you could go with either power grab. I mean, you really could put it back up with thinset, because you could purchase pre-mixed thinset in a small container. Have you seen those, John?
Mm-hmm.
Originally that's what it was put up with. And I don't know if you need to chip out a little bit. Does it fit pretty tight in there?
But it's the kind of fit where you could tell that the thing just came off.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's intact. It didn't break the little, it's got like a little formed bubble on the back of it.
You know, I didn't look for that, but I will.
Yeah, it's where it's molded. So it goes back into the wall just sometimes a little bit deeper. The older models did. I think he has all kinds of options.
Correct.
David, I defer to you. That's your job. But it is my inclination that like a polyurethane adhesive, I don't know. I just feel like it has better adhesive properties and it's going to grab faster.
And it will, and you can do less. I think maybe you need to just lay up a drop cloth or something in the bathtub first, and that way, if you chip out a little bit, because you're going to need to open up a few spaces in there to make room for the glue, and then you can go back in there with as John said, there's several types of adhesives, but I think a polyurethane adhesive or John, one of your favorite caulks, the poly seam seal.
Right.
is also an adhesive caulk.
It's an adhesive caulk combination, yeah.
So that would work as well. But you're going to have some caulk when you're done to go around the perimeter of the soap dish. So it's a two-step process. What you're going to do first is pick out the glue that you decide to use. And when we talk about a polyurethane adhesive, we're talking about, and I would either go with a clear or a white, like a OSI product. Mm-hmm. And I guess he could use a P&L adhesive as well.
Right.
So you have options. We're not trying to bounce around. It's just when you go to the store.
I think the polyurethane adhesive is going to be, we think, optimal because it stays resilient once it cures. So you get a good grab. The other thing, as David said, you're going to have to caulk around it once you get in. So you want to make sure that opening is pretty clean so that when you're ready to go put some caulk back around that, it doesn't look, there's a space for the caulk to go, right? And then get some 2-inch blue painter's tape because you're going to want to tape that in place until everything sets.
There you go. Let that dry. Okay, let the adhesive dry for 24 hours, Wesley, and then come back and caulk around the soap dish with some white caulk or whatever color grout you have.
Okay, polyurethane adhesive, 24 hours, caulk around, make a place for the stuff to sit in there and be careful.
Yeah, just chisel out a little bit of it, and it'd probably be wise to have a little paint thinner and a rag on hand in case some of it oozes out on you. If you get it on your hands, because that's what you'll need to clean it up.
Thank y'all so much.
Thanks for the call, Wesley. All right, we've snuck past the break here, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a break, and we'll be back. Call us at 704-570-1110. We'll chat right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call this morning. We're talking about what's important to you. If you call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, want to talk about what's important to you. We're going to talk about alternatives to wooden flooring, alternative options for your shower. It's interesting that Wesley called. It was almost like a cool little segue. He clearly has ceramic. There's lots of cool options. There's one that I never would have thought about that I'm like, well, that doesn't look too bad in a contemporary setting. We'll talk about that. Of course, we got our Home Depot product of the week coming up. It's perfect for the season, I think, in my humble opinion. I get to choose them, so I guess we'll go with it. And then I've got a list, David, of 9 fall home improvement projects, things you ought to got to do in the fall every year. Well, not every year. Some of these things you wouldn't do every year, but pretty cool. And it'll give an opportunity to talk about a little bit more detail in some of these things as well. But we talk about a lot of the same things in each year because, you know, fall happens. Your house is your house, right? There's not a whole lot of radically different things going on. And the beautiful thing about that is you don't have to solve, you know, do all 9 things necessarily in a week. You could tackle them over a series of weeks, months, and like some of us, years. So lots of good options. Where do you want to start? You want to start with wooden floor alternatives?
Sure.
I think we should do that. So we spoke last week. I can't remember the woman's name who called, and she had a lot of great questions about hardwood floor. And so we spent some time talking about that. And we said, look, if you want hardwood floor, true hardwood, we like, even if it's pre-finished, we like the full 3/4 inch nail down floor so that you can refinish them later on if you need to, right? When you get some of the engineered floors, the actual finish layer is much thinner. It's a laminate, and so it's not as forgiving. It is not forgiving. Should you go in there with a sander and, you know, sand it down and add and change the color and refinish it, right? So we said that's great, but David, there's a lot of options beyond Hardwood. And depending on the part of the country, you know, ceramic and things like that. In Texas, they got the terracotta, I think, tile. And I mean, it looks very nice, the Southwest kind of stuff. But for us, the new rage is laminated vinyl tile, LVT. Some call it luxury vinyl tile. And we've spoken about this since, what was it? The very first one that came out from Halsted, Allure, right?
Allure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we loved it. And our challenge with Allure always was, well, when they first came out with it, there was, you know, maybe a dozen different colors or patterns. And just speaking unfiltered, of that dozen, three might have been nice. That's not true. We just had an opinion. And it was different than the manufacturer. But now there's just, I mean, you can get wood look, you can get tile look, you can get mosaic. There's just all manner of images or what looks, designs, if you want. But David, I think just two things that you should know if you're shopping for LVT tile. This is where, I mean, I actually did a lot of this with, you know, big multifamily groups and stuff a few years ago. And there's price points, right? You say, oh, I want to get this at a reasonable price. And you can get some really reasonably priced product, but you may not be buying the best solution. And so there's two things that we want you to look at when you're buying LVT. One is the actual thickness, how thick it is, and that'll be in millimeters. And then the other is the wear layer, and that'll be in mils, M-I-L. And you can go as low as 8, maybe even 6. But I think what we would say, if you should be between 12 and 20 mil for the wear layer. And if you got pets, between 20 and 40. Because that wear layer is what's got, you know, the surface that keeps it, you know, impervious to liquids and things like that. That's what's going to take the claws of the dog and chairs, you know, moving over and stuff like that. So the thickness, and I don't remember all the thicknesses, David, because I get so focused on mill. Thickness will vary depending on like the lock, the click lock design, whether you're gluing it down or right. Not also, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so well, the thicker it is, the heavier click lock that you're going to get, the more machining that they're capable of doing, and the better chance you have of it staying locked, especially if there's imperfection in the floor, which mm-hmm. everyone has them, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we like about LVT is its ability to bridge imperfections in the floor. But if that imperfection is, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be deep, but if it's like long, wide, or a serious depression, that's enough. The click joint will separate, mm-hmm. and when that happens in the middle floor, life is not good.
Yeah, and some people think, well, that's not a problem. You just put it back together. Well, it's something that needs to be done as soon as possible if it does come apart. And the way you have to do it is you basically have to move that floor with a. I've seen all types of ways to do that, John. I don't know if you've seen any videos on that, but people will actually take a hot glue gun and glue a small block of wood to the piece that's in question. Then they take a mallet after that glue dries and they pop that tile over. They put some type of adhesive underneath and then they hit it back and then they pop that off and take the glue off. And then you weight that area with some type of weight. To hold it down. I've got 10 or 15 places in my house that I have to do. And the problem is if you wait too long, dust and debris and dirt and things get down in that joint.
And then, you have to fit back together, right?
You really have to be careful and make sure you clean that out with a small brush and get that taken care of. Otherwise, you'll never get that to fit tight again.
So if all of that sounds like headache you don't want to have, that another reason to consider, you know, the thicker millimeters, because you've got a bigger tongue and groove, for want of a better term, right? And mm-hmm. it's less likely to pop out on you.
Exactly.
So and then there's like a peel and stick version of that. Yeah, not.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah, they sell it. It's sold. It's available. Maybe there's an application that you want to put that in. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the closets.
Yeah, I don't know. Under the litter box. Mm-hmm. But not so much, in my opinion. It's great. You know, it's out there. It's available, but not so much. Then there's a glue down. A lot of the guys that do, you know, the multifamily and stuff like that like the glue down because they don't have to deal with, they get it in place, glue it down, and they don't have to deal with the popping and stuff that you just talked about, David.
Mm-hmm.
And you can glue down a thinner product. You don't have to, it doesn't require, it is the mechanical connection doesn't have to be as good. And so you glue it down, you put it together, and boom, you go. So you get a fairly easy to install piece, and the price is right. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to do it yourself, I feel like the thicker click lock is the way to go. What think you?
I think the same. I've put down the glue down before, and that's use that pressure sensitive mm-hmm. adhesive, mm-hmm. So it goes down wet out of the bucket, and then you let it tack off and dry. Yep. You start in a doorway, and then you're actually on top of the tile as you take off. But once you stick it down, it's pretty well stuck. It still will move some, but pretty good product. But I mean, I think the misconception with that is that if you glue it, it's easier or you save money. But the glue costs money too, mm-hmm. so you have to mm-hmm. factor that in.
Yep, absolutely. And it's a little bit messier if you don't do it all the time. You'll find yourself trying to clean up smudges on the face of the tile and stuff like that, because you'll step in. Anyway, we're coming up on a break. So look, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about what's important to you. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. But grab a cup of coffee, get your questions ready. We're going to head into more home improvement topics when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
Thanks for being with us this morning, everybody. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. Right now, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. And I think it's a good one. It's the X Series Smokeless Fire Pit by Brio. I like it because it's smokeless. It burns wood, so you're not you don't have to have a LP or natural gas supply. There's a couple different finishes and looks to it, and you get them in a couple different sizes. But it's the Brio Smokeless Fire Pit. I love a fire in the fall, and I don't know, David, about you, but like wherever I am is where the smoke goes. It defies meteorological laws. And this takes care of that for you. Actually, a pretty cool design. If you look at the inside, how it's set for draft, you know, almost like a downdraft to prevent the smoke from just going all over the place. But check it out. A couple different sizes. You're looking about $500 to get it. Stainless steel, very durable, lasts a while. The Home Depot product of the week is the Brio X Series Smokeless Fire Pit. Check it out. Alrighty, we were talking about LVT, I think, and I think we've kind of exhausted the guidance we wanted to give there. What would you was there anything else, David, you wanted to talk about LVT?
No, I just think just talk about, make sure that before you install that you take some kind of a straight edge and just put it on your floors and just kind of get down low and look for dips. A flashlight works pretty well with that. But just something of substantial that's very straight. You could lay down on the floor and just shine a light and just make sure, just check multiple areas, you know, as much as you can, and just make sure there's no big dips.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it will bridge those dips, but if it falls right on a joint, it's a problem, it could be a problem down the road. So that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's much else we could say about it. It's good product.
Get those dips out of this joint.
Yeah. Get them out of here.
All right. Good guidance. What about ceramic tile? Is that like gone? When you do renovations now, are you doing much ceramic outside of the bathroom?
No, very, very seldom. Very seldom do we get a call for that, unless it's the wood look.
Right.
That's still very popular, and I like it. It's just it's a cold floor. We had talked about doing that in our house, and it just wasn't in our budget. We had other things that we wanted to do, and we knew we could do something else with the floor later if the LVP didn't work out. So, but I like it, and I think it's there's lots of choices, and I think you could certainly choose that if it's something that you want to do. I would do what you did. We did our bathrooms with tile, of course, but yep. We did not heat the floors, you know, and you and Barb came by the last time, you know, Barb asked that question and I said, no. And I ran out of time, to get that done. It's creeped up on me too fast, but I wish we would have done it. I know you like yours.
Love it. Love it. When we first did it, Rebecca was still living here, I think. And she walked in the bathroom in her bare feet. And she just laid on the floor. She's like, this feels so good. It really does feel good. And it's not hard to do. If, as you say, you got to catch it before you do the installation, of course. But right. I think it's a worthwhile investment. A couple things as you think about ceramic tile, though. The wood look. So ceramic has come, another product that has come so far with the ability to print ceramic tile, now the porcelain tiles. So you can get all manner, as you, David, you said, the wood look. So it looks, it's hard to tell whether it's wood or not, the way some of the designs are put together. But they're planks, right? And they can be variable lengths from 18 to 20 some inches, I think. I don't know if there's any like 30 inch or 36 inch. I don't know. Don't take my guidance on that. But the challenge with that is if that's going to go into a kitchen or if that's going in an area that is on a crawl space or a basement, you really want to understand if you've got flex in that floor, right? Because if you have that long plank and it's running, you know, in the direction that the joists are running and those joists have any kind of bow in them, and you haven't put an isolation membrane on the floor, you're going to have cracked tile. Mm-hmm. And cracked tile is not good unless you're going for the cracked tile look. Most are not. So we're coming right up against the break, so I won't go on. We can talk about isolation membranes and that stuff when we come back, David, but you'll probably have to remind me because it's going to be like 3 whole minutes and I will have forgotten. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're not going to start a new topic here because we're just coming up on a break. But give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. We're going into fall projects. We're going to look at 9 fall projects that we think are really good things to do. We'll spend a minute or two more on some ceramic tile and just good preparation for that ceramic application and just some good stuff. And then we're going to get into the shower and talk about what options might exist for shower walls. Lots of great stuff. In the 42 years we've been doing it, David, a lot of things have come an awful long way. So it's very cool. But look, we want to talk about what's important to you. So get your questions ready. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. And we'll talk about whatever home improvement question you have when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And out there somewhere is Dave Dole.
And I'm here.
There he is. All right. 704-570-1110. David, right before the break, we were talking about ceramic tile. And just if you're going on a crawl space, and it's important to make sure that there's not a lot of flex in the floor system where we're using large tiles, whether that's a large format, you know, 18 by 18, 24 by 24, or larger, just square, or particularly the rectangular, very popular wood look planks of ceramic tile. Take a minute and, well, I think we see or we hear lots of challenges because a kitchen remodel gets done. Marble or granite or some sort of stone countertop is added, which has a lot of weight. And depending, you know, or not, whether it's an island or where it is, you're creating some flex, and that can sometimes be an issue. So what's the best solution for that?
Well, I mean, you have to put some type of underlayment down. So the standard was, it used to be people would put down sand and mortar, and they would build the floor up, which is very thick. And that works well. Of course, it adds a lot of weight. So I guess there's an argument with that it could make it even worse.
Right.
And I know you've seen those jobs before, yep. John, where it's really piled up in there.
Tore one out of here.
And then then came concrete board, and it worked. So it was half inch at first, and now they're down to a quarter inch. And so that's thin setted down, and they lay this board on top, and that strengthens the floor. And what they're trying to achieve, obviously, is to make it all one place, and that it's not very flexible. So that when you put the tile on, you don't have movement in the floor. Therefore, the grout joints of the tile doesn't crack. And then now they have all types of materials, fabrics, and different manufacturers have different things. But the Schluter, and I'm drawing a blank as to what that orange mat that they put down.
Is it Dietra?
Yes. And that's a very cool product. And I'm starting to believe more and more in those products. I think those are pretty cool because it'll let the floor flex underneath it, but on top it tends to stay rigid. Plus, it's a lot easier to put a heated floor in that. I don't know if you've seen that where they run the wire, yep. The individual wire,
yep.
Which is
I
pretty cool.
I thought they had a version of that actually was wired. Maybe I'm.
They may. I don't. Yeah. I know there's some matting out there that is, and there's some stuff that looks like fencing that they lay down that's wired. But I'm not sure how all that joins together. So as you go from piece to piece, you'd have to have multiple zones otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. Probably the best thing is just to make sure that your floors are prepped properly. And in some cases, you may even need to go into the crawl space and add a drop girder.
Right. That's
especially with these engineered joists that they span to the very max of what they're engineered to do. And then when you load that with furniture and people walking, especially, you'll get that movement, and you can hear the dishes rattling in the china cabinet.
Yep.
And it's not ideal, is it, for tile?
I needed to lose weight, but it really wasn't that. Well, maybe it was, but there were some additional things.
Right.
I actually had to do that when I redid our office. So the office that I'm in right now sits below what is now our kitchen eating area. It was a dining room. And when I redid the ceiling here, I reinforced the floor joists because this is a conventionally framed house, but they just took it to the max, right? So the span rating for a yellow pine 2x10, they went to the span rating, right? Nothing wrong with it. It's just it's more likely to have that flex in it when you take it to the max or to the limit.
I'll share something with you real quick. I did a little laundry room makeover for a customer. And the house is probably 20 years old. Very nice home, well built. The laundry room is 6 foot wide, and it's framed with 2x10s. Has plywood, then it has hardwood floors on it. When I set the cabinets across, or I set a level across that floor, there was a bow in that floor.
Wow!
And that was with the running parallel with the joist. Mm. And so the cabinets were shimmed up quite a bit, and I was very surprised that it had settled or that it had bowed that much. And there was no weight in that area. It was just kind of a vacant area in the laundry room. So it happens.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know. I remember Mark and Joyce on the job site, right, as a carpenter's helper, crown them up, right? And I just wonder if that one may not have, those may not have been set correctly also.
And they may not have been, but it was only a 6-foot span.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty crazy.
Yes. And it wasn't extreme, but it was a quarter of an inch.
Enough
in
to
the
make
middle.
A difference. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go. So the only thing we haven't spoken about as a flooring option, other than hardwood, is hardwood. So we'll let that lie. No one talks about carpet anymore.
Hardly any. But people still do use a lot of carpet. Our friend over at Empire Carpet and Blinds, Randy Cheaper, they still sell a lot of carpet.
Sure.
Do a lot of runners for stairs. And they have quite a nice business. And they do. I tell you what else they do is they bind in store. So you want an area rug, you pick out a piece of carpet, and you could put it over top of some of these floors we're talking about to still get to soften it and to get that look. You kind of can frame in, and it's really really a nice look. And then I did want to mention before we go to the next subject, John.
Yeah.
So if you're on a concrete slab, you actually have some other options with flooring. Uh-huh. And you did your garage floor with some type of an epoxy.
Right.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
And so you have that opportunity inside your house as well. So there's multiple ways that you can treat a concrete slab so they can there's all types of stains. They could pour all kinds of designs into it. So you're really not limited. You actually, if you have a slab floor, you have more options, I think.
So I thought you were also going to go it's very popular in the more contemporary homes where they're just polishing the concrete.
Yes, absolutely.
And letting that be. Yeah.
Yeah, you polish it, and they could put some type of a sealer over top of that, but mostly they just polish it, don't they? And they close it. Yeah. Essentially, it closes off the pores.
Yep. Yep.
So nothing will stain or go into the floor. Pretty cool. Pretty neat.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
Something you want to do, obviously, while the furniture's not in there or everything is, while it's moved out, because it even with the dust collection system, you think wood dust is aggravating.
Yeah,
concrete
baby.
Dust is something else.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And they did grind our floor in the garage right before treating it. And, man, it did. Even with their vacuums and dustless stuff, I mean, it kicked up a serious amount of dust. So you got to think that through. All right, so that gets us, takes us up to the floor for flooring options. I wanted to get, David, and I think we'll have time before we go to our last break in the first hour here. The shower stalls and options for shower stalls. Wesley called this morning and he's trying to reattach his his soap dish in what is a ceramic shower stall. But there's a lot of options for how you deal with a shower stall, whether it's a walk-in shower, in your floor to ceiling or it's a over a bathtub and you're doing a lesser height, but let's talk about some of those. And I would love to hear. We won't have time to exhaust it. We'll have to come back after the break. But I think you can just ceramic is what it is. What are your thoughts on acrylic and PVC panels, David?
I like them. I mean, especially since I've been through the. I've been through the phase where there used to be cultured marble.
Right.
Was very popular.
Yeah.
Very, very tough product to install for. I think when you go, I guess I'll back up because it's changed somewhat. I mean, the makeup is still the same, but they can use a lot more colors now, which give you a lot more options. Used to be you had just in the you'd have some in the ivories and all of that. And then they started mixing in some blues and things like that. And that was popular for a minute. And then, but it's very tough to install. It tends to yellow. And so when you start looking at
yellows,
yeah, absolutely. And then when you switch over to some of these other products, you eliminate all of that, and they're lighter, more flexible, easier to work with. And we can talk a little bit about that when we come back.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We'll talk about the questions that are important to you. Before we go back into the conversations we were having about shower liners or shower wall finishes, let's talk to Joe. He has a question for us. Joe, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call. One quick question in reference to the flooring cabinet installation job that you did recently in a laundry room with the bow in the floor. Did you have to fix that prior to doing the floor?
No. We just shimmed the cabinets up. It's not abnormal to when you're setting cabinets to have to shim in any direction, really. There's almost always some type of flex or dip in the floor. It's most of the time it's not huge, but you have to pay attention to that. So no, you once you've done it for a while, you know how to shift and move the cabinets, and ideally what you want is to try to get them to be up against the wall, but sometimes that doesn't even happen because the floor is dipping and the wall's leaning out. So you have to just find the best of make the best of a bad situation, and then it can all be covered up with backsplashes and countertops and all of that. You're just trying to limit it to the smallest gap that you can that you can leave. So I hope that makes sense.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your call. David, when we flipped that house up in Hampstead, the one wall, you talk about shimming, like it was 3/4 of an inch out at the at its worst. It was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun. Good though. You're right. You cover it with countertop. When you're all done.
Well, you do. You have options, and you try to balance it out so that it works out. Obviously, you want the cabinets in as square as possible because it tends to show up in the doors and all. Even though the doors are The hinges today are much more forgiving. You have a lot more adjustability, I guess, or opportunity to adjust. So, yeah, it's just that's why sometimes in some situations it's better to have a pro in there doing some of those things to help out. There's people that are much better at it than I am. So,
all right. So let's go back talking about the shower again quickly. We talked about acrylic panels and PVC panels, and there's a couple different options on it. If in the do-it-yourself world, you can get acrylic or PVC panels like the three-piece, five-piece systems. And if it's a do-it-yourself project, we kind of like the five-piece just because it is much easier to work with when you have uneven walls or inconsistencies in the wall, right? You don't have a perfect 90-degree corner or, you're out of square a little bit, right? So that's good, and that's most folks aren't doing that. I mean, you could get some really nice-looking panel systems, don't get me wrong. But, David, you talked about the cultured marble before we went to break. There's a lot of other options out there as far as if you want to do a panel, like silestone, which is kind of like a quartz, a manufactured stone. What are your what's your go to when somebody says, well, I want to do something in the shower, and it's not ceramic. What is your go to?
I like the Swan Stone is a really good product. It's they have a lot of choices, but they don't, a lot of them don't look natural, so people tend to stay away from them a little bit, or they're not as thrilled with that product. But as far as the product for installing it, it's outstanding. Second of all, it's very durable and it holds up. The only thing you have to worry about is the caulking with those products. So I like that. All of the surfaces, the Corian, a brand name. You could do your showers in those products as well. Gets a little more pricey with the Swanstone and that, but it's truly a nice, it's a nice product. That's where I tend to go. It's where I tend to go. Versus the cultured marble. And I like cultured marble, don't get me wrong, and they do a really good job with some of the colors out there. It's a little harder to work with. It's a little more brittle. I've had a few pieces break on me, and back in the day when we were doing a lot of them, you know, you have to wait. You got to put your order in, and then you wait to get it. And when you have someone's bathroom tore up, you get to that point, you're almost to the finish line, and
it's like, hang on.
It's not good news.
Well, there's a couple other things. We're going to come up against a break here, so we'll go ahead and take it. But there were two other things that showed up that kind of blew me away. One we haven't talked about, that didn't blow me away, but marble. And certainly that's an option, as you say. You have to be careful with what kind of thin set and grout and stuff you use if there's grout joints in marble, because marble will draw those colors and stuff in. But we're going to take our break, and then we'll talk about two surround options that I was kind of like scratch my head. One of them probably wouldn't do, although there's a fake version of it. The other one, I was like, that turned out better than I thought. So with that bit of suspense, don't go away. We're going to come back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovell.
We're talking home improvement at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. We're talking about the shower stall. And we've hit the conventional, the PVC, the acrylic, the panels, like the kits, panels, silestone and manufactured stone, super durable, a little less natural looking sometimes, but very, very durable. Two things came up that blew me away, David. One, there was actually a recommendation. There was a scenario where someone put wood in the shower. Like, you know, I guess like you have, and it was a, like a redwood or a cedar. Mm-hmm. So it had natural,
teak.
Yeah, the water resistant tendencies. The issue was ultimately warping and stuff, no matter what they did, was an issue. So there was a ceramic version that looked like it. Looked interesting. Let's just leave it.
I've seen that. Actually, it looks pretty good. I've seen that in a couple of pool houses.
Right.
It's gorgeous.
Then what I didn't expect to see was stainless steel. Have you ever seen stainless steel?
I have
not. In a shower stall?
I've seen it in a commercial in a public park.
When I was in prison, I hadn't. No, I don't.
Yeah. That's the stainless steel toilet.
Maybe there, yeah. But no, it was a very modern deal, right? All the glass, the metal frame, almost frameless, you know, shower stalls and stuff like that. So, and it was stainless steel, and it didn't look like the rest area at the South Carolina border. I thought that was interesting. I don't know how you keep that clean. Obviously. Because I'm thinking it's going to show, you know, water spots and soap film pretty quickly, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe it's the David Dovell Master Wax, car wax solution.
Yes.
All right. There we go. All right. So we've done the dealer's choice thing. You know, what should you do for your floor? What are your options for a shower? I want to, and with the remainder of the show we've got this morning, David, let's dive in and talk about 9 fall home improvement projects. And they vary in complexity substantially, actually. The number one, and I don't know if this is by popularity or by urgency or whatever, but the first fall home improvement project says get rid of single pane windows. There's not that many of them out there. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's still a lot of single pane windows out there. But getting rid of single pane windows is, there's a couple options. There's, you know, replacement windows. There's, have you used the sash pack? I know there's a couple different names for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Multiple times.
I kind of like that a little better than the vinyl in some applications, right?
It is. It's not as, I don't think you get the total air infiltration seal that you do with a replacement window. There's a trade-off.
Right.
Cause I know you're talking about glass area. When you change the windows out, they tend to look more like what was in there. And I will throw this out there. Those are available, the sash packs. So essentially the anatomy of a window is there's a window frame, and then the sashes are what go up and down. I just want to make sure people understand that.
Yep.
But the windows that you have now, if they're wood, probably wood windows if they're older, and you can replace those if the frames of the windows are in good shape. You can replace the sash, the part that goes up and down, and the balances or the tracks that the windows slide in. You can actually get the sashes in PVC, which is pretty cool. Now, some companies, I think, have treated some type of treated wood that they're using for those as well. But I've replaced them and used the PVC, and that's a pretty neat product.
So it's PVC or it's wrapped in PVC?
It's PV. It's solid PVC. Mm, it's machined, okay. And it's just a little bit more than the wood. And it's a great choice. As a matter of fact, they tell you to paint it, but I had customers that did not want it painted. They said they'll paint it at a later time. No need. They didn't see any need to paint it. And if you keep them clean, they'll probably stay that way for a while. I don't know how they'll do in the sun.
That would be my concern, right? If you don't if you don't protect them from the UV rays, you could have some issues there, right?
Right. But a nice way to and it's fairly easy, and if you have just a little bit of know-how, you could do that yourself. It can certainly cut down on the expense, but it's the same thing as putting a replacement window in, John. If the window frame is in good shape, that's a great choice. You know, either one of those.
All right. So, and not hard. I think we would offer caution, shop, get estimates. We get calls pretty regularly from someone who said, well, I had the window people out and one guy wanted to charge me $30,000 and another guy wanted to charge me, you know, $15,000. What's the difference? And
profit.
I was going to say, sometimes the difference in what you end up with, other than less money, is minimal, right? But there are a couple things that we would caution you to look at. You want to look at the ratings on a window, is R value, and you want to know the R value of the entire unit, not just the glass, because there's some really awesome technology that makes with low E coatings and things like that that make heat transfer through the glass, you know, minimal. But if it's a terrible frame from an R value or heat transfer perspective, then all the awesome, you know, technology that goes into the glass is lost in the frame.
Right.
So you want to look at that, and you also want to look at air infiltration ratings. And I think, David, when you talk about sash pack versus, you know, a full replacement unit, that's where you might have some variance, right?
Yeah, there's a little difference there for sure.
And then well, that's it. We won't get all into the science of windows, but that's a great fall project, and you got time. The beautiful thing about living here is this is really a good time because you can have openings in the house and not be blowing heat or blowing air conditioning out the door, because it gets pretty temperate even through midday, and you can have some openings in the house. Not that they stay open that long, but there's definitely a difference. All right, so that's number one: get rid of single pane windows. The second one is replace missing shingles. If you got missing shingles, yeah, for sure. I would say maybe I would rephrase that and say have a roof inspection done or do a roof inspection with some binoculars. Sure. If you know what you're looking for, right?
And today, later today would probably be a good time to do that just because we had a little bit longer and higher winds than normal, and they were sustained. So there's a good chance if there was a shingle that was loose on the roof, it very well could have come off in the weather that we had over the last 24 hours. So, you know, just get back from the house, take a walk, take a look up there. And, you know, like you said, John, the shingles or the binoculars are a good way to look at that roof. You know, and if you you don't have to climb on the roof, but you could certainly put a ladder if you can reach it and climb up there and take a look, you know, and check all sides and just make sure, because it's a good chance that you could have lost a shingle with the weather that we just had.
The other thing you want to look at is the penetrations where your vent pipes and are coming through the roof. There's a mm-hmm. boot that goes around that pipe, and it's got like a neoprene gasket that fits snugly against the pipe and keeps the water from penetrating around the pipe. You want to get a close look at that. And again, you don't want to have to climb up on the roof, get a ladder there, get your binoculars out. But if you're seeing cracks in that, the sun has cooked the petroleum out of that, and that's a potential leak. And so you want to try to get that, you want to get that replaced. If on the roof, I'm not sure that I'm telling anybody that it's a do-it-yourself job. When I was like 30 years younger than I am now, there was a lot of roof do-it-yourself stuff that I did. Like I did roofing. I ain't getting up there anymore. And unless you're pretty, you know, there's a lot of just steep pitches in many of the designs of the mm-hmm. of the nicer homes, and that's just not worth taking a chance.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be up there without a harness. Yeah. I mean, that's. It's technically what's supposed to happen out in the construction field anyway. You don't see guys up there anymore without a harness and a rope tied to them.
Yeah, and you don't want to tie
the bumper of the car.
Yeah, that's just, I had that thought, man. Oh my gosh. Let's don't go there. All right, honey. All right, we're here going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk more home improvement. If you would like to call us with a question, the number is 704-570-1110. We do have lines open. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com and click on the questions button, or send us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com. And sometimes we can get a little more detail to you and from you when you do that. So we're happy to help out that way. And I say we, it's the Imperial we. David does all of the work. So don't go away. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is coming back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're talking home improvement at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what your home improvement question might be. Right now, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. And this week, it's a X-Series Fire Pit from Brio. It's a smokeless fire pit. That's what I like about it. It's stainless steel, comes in a couple different sizes, couple different finishes. It burns wood, so you don't need LP gas or natural gas hookups. It's freestanding. You can move wherever you want. It burns wood, and it is smokeless. Check it out. There's a couple different sizes. You're probably going to pay about $500, somewhere in that neck of the wood, but it's going to last several seasons, probably. I didn't look up the warranty, so I won't talk about that. But check it out. It's the Brio X-Series Smokeless Fire Pit. Pretty cool. And it's got some cool little things that, like, attachments that come with it also. So check it out. There's a lot of cool stuff there. All right. David, we were talking about 9 fall projects, and we were up on the roof talking about, you know, checking the roof boots and things like that. Replacing a shingle... missing shingles, that's not necessarily so easy for a couple reasons. One is what it's going to look like if your shingles have been on the roof over a period of time, and you were smart enough to save some shingles when the roof was done. those shingles have not faded. The ones on the roof have. There's a couple tricks to fixing that, though, aren't there?
For you're talking about changing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can if it's on the front of the house, you can attempt to remove them from the back of the house or a place where it's not as noticeable, and move those around, and then put the new shingles in the place that you had removed the other ones. Now,
there you go.
When I was involved in roofing a little bit. We would always have a bundle. We'd leave a bundle, and we would put it in the crawl space or the garage or something. It's always a good thing to do to have extra shingles. If anything else, at least keep a file, John. I know you keep one on your house. I've kept one on mine, and it's kind of a submittal book, is what it is. But what it is, it's everything that's on the house, and you put model numbers and all of that. So if you don't have one, it's a good time to start that. Just write it down. You can put it in a computer program. You can do whatever you want, a little spreadsheet, but it's kind of nice to be able to hang on to that stuff. Cause you won't remember.
For sure.
You won't remember.
It's just one color. Yeah.
I do it every day. I know you do too, John, in a different capacity, but every day, but you don't remember.
Right.
Those things. So, yeah. And then I think the other thing, and I don't know if this is on the list for fall, but I was just looking out the window during the break, and I don't even have a lot of trees in my area. Well, I don't have trees that shed their leaves. I have two maple trees is all, and they haven't changed their color yet, but a lot of debris in my yard. So that means there's probably a lot of debris on the roof and a lot of debris in your gutters. So,
so
I might want to take care of that.
You're on target for a couple different ways. One of them is unclog your gutters and that sort of thing. The other is trim your foliage. So, you got to pay attention. There's different times a year to prune, shrubs and things like that. I think the one you want to pay attention to is your trees. Any kind of trees that are close to the house or overhang the house, you want to make sure that the branches hanging over are not dragging across the roof. That just creates wear and on the roof that it will cause it to fail prematurely, and potential dangers in heavy winds if you haven't removed any kind of dead limbs. And so that's a tree service deal. You're probably not trying to lean the ladder against the tree and climb up there with your chainsaw. Not recommended.
Please don't.
Yeah. Not recommended even close. I wouldn't. But get a tree service out. And sometimes it's good just to raise the canopy. Well, I say raise the canopy. If you're on a heavily wooded lot, we are. And so every 3 or 4 years, I actually have somebody we call just raise the canopy, right? Cut all those lower branches off and just have a clearer shot to the house from the street again. But that's the third thing that they want us to do in preparation or during the fall. And then the next one is restore your carpet. So we were talking earlier about nobody talks about carpet anymore. That's not true. There's a lot of carpet out there. There's still a lot of carpet. This talks about carpet cleaning. And if you're going to install flooring or carpet, this is the time to jump on it and get on the schedule, because we're in October. Happy October, by the way. Everybody's going to want to have the job done by Thanksgiving. And crews and so on are limited, so you want to get in the pipeline as quick as possible. But a great project for fall going into the holidays, if you're not going to replace your carpet, is getting it cleaned. And there's a lot of ways you can rent the cleaners and stuff like that. Just be real careful. By the time you spend time on it, it might be worth having a legit cleaning service come out and do that for you. Also get the extract all the water and so on, because you can
preferably somebody with truck mounted equipment, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hotter water and more suction. Let them get that water out and let them, so it doesn't take long to dry. You don't need all that moisture in the house.
It's problematic if you don't catch it. All right, we've got like five more things to go. We've already talked about one of them briefly, but we're going to take a little break here. If you would like to join us, call us at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Wrapping it up. Last segment, give us a call, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We got five fall projects to get through in this segment. I think we can do it. David, you alluded to one of them just when you said, hey, after all the wind and stuff, get your gutters cleaned out. For sure, you want to clean out your gutters. And there's two things on the gutter cleaning. One is you get the junk out of the gutter. It's a bad time for water to be sitting in a gutter. And if for some reason it's there in any kind of significant fashion and we get really cold weather like freezing, that's just more damage, right? So you want to get that resolved. The other cleaning is just the gutter itself will have the funk. If you didn't get all the pollen and just the nasties that, you know, run off your roof down over the face of the gutter, taking off, do that. Just be careful. David, we've taken a lot of calls where people have gotten 409 or what's the other one that they like to use, and they just put it on there straight and basically just took the paint off the gutter. So be careful with that.
I just had that conversation with Alex over that owns the Shine. It's a Shine of Charlotte, and that's one of the things they do is they do windows, but they clean gutters, not only on the inside but the outside, and that was one of the things we talked about when that if you use too strong a cleaner, you end up having to paint them.
Not a good plan.
Yeah, so tough. makes for a bad situation.
Would you do the Dave Doval car wax on the gutters? It is warm.
If it's liquid, that's the way I did. I didn't actually get up there and rub it on there, but I had liquid wax that I sprayed through a steam cleaner.
There you go.
Worked pretty well.
All right. Next on the list is protect your perennials. So those are the plants, the kind of the pretty ones, pop of color, that come back year after year, right? So, pardon me. You don't have to replant them every year. It's not too bad in our neck of the woods. We're growing up in Chicago. It was an annual event where we mulched with rake leaves and what have you, and just mulched all of the perennial gardens and piled them on to protect them from the deep freezes and the harsh winters. And they came back in our climate. It's worthwhile to just mulch in general, many times for us, just to keep the moisture in versus, protecting against freeze, but not a bad advice. And it's on the list. We should consider it. The next one, David, is one that we've talked about before, and that's clean your fireplace. We're getting ready to fire it up again. I could tell the other night I was out and like you could smell people were already, starting up fires. If you haven't had it professionally cleaned in a while and it's an older home, it's a worthwhile investment. There's nothing, scarier than a chimney fire. Well, I shouldn't say nothing scarier, but chimney fires are on a good day, alarming and it'll freak you on a bad day, goodbye house. So it's worth getting the chimney inspected and cleaned for going into the fireplace season.
Yeah.
What how often would you say do that?
Well, it depends on how much you use it. If you burn fires continually, then you should probably do it every year. Because it's not just the soot, but it's the amount of heat that can damage the lining of the chimney. So, I mean, it's designed for that, but it creates a lot of movement. So when it goes from cold to hot that fast, you can crack and break the joints open. So, and if you haven't had it done in a long time and they come out, don't be surprised if they hand you some pictures and show you where it's the flue is cracked and broke open. And, you know, technically that needs to be repaired because that's an opportunity for fire or heat to get through and cause a problem.
Yeah. All right. So I was just reading the statistic here. I kind of double clicked on this thing here, and it says 27% of home heating fires are from dirty chimneys.
Mm-hmm.
20. That's over a quarter because I'm so good with numbers.
Well, and I guess we'll clarify that. So what happens a lot of times is you get the creosote that builds up inside, right. And that's what burns after that. It gets so hot in there that it can catch it on fire. So you don't want anything combustible left in the flue itself. So if you're using it all the time and you're primarily heating with wood, and you know, I think folks that do that would normally know that, but if you're just starting out and you're doing that that's your plan, you probably want to make sure that chimney is taken care of. And a couple of ways they can fix that, so check with them, and those guys are busy and they stay busy year around, so you want to go ahead and get on their list.
Absolutely. The other thing you can do is burn hardwoods and decent wood,
sure,
burning pine and stuff like that, while it's maybe easier to get and less expensive, it's going to cause that soot problem faster. All right. Number eight, seal attic air leaks. So this is the one we talk about where you doing your entire attic in a day or something probably doesn't make sense. So you want to get up there and wherever there's, you know, pipes coming through the floor, or penetrations from living space, from conditioned space to unconditioned space, you want to make sure that that's all sealed up. You can hire an insulation person to do an inspection. You can hire an insulation person to add insulation. And I guess this would also be a time to consider, you know, do you want to foam the attic? Certainly an option, right? But
yes.
It's the air leaks. You know, people have a lot of great fiberglass insulation or cellulose or blown-in insulation in the attic, and they have adequate amount to achieve the R value that they're looking for, but there's still pretty significant heat transfer because heat rises. It's not so bad with air conditioning in the summertime, but heat rises, so you're going to so there'll be a lot of heat moving through those places that aren't sealed despite the R value. So it won't be transferred in, you know, heat transfer. It'll be air moving, warm air up into cold, and that's where you're going to lose some of your heat.
And if you have a pretty modern home, something that's been built in the last 10 years, 15 years, you probably don't have to worry about that because they draft stopping and fire stopping has been part of the code for a good while. So unless something new has been added and it wasn't fire stopped, you probably will be fairly well sealed up, so you could just probably use your effort around the access door or stairs going into the attic. But if it's an older house, older than that, then there's a good chance that it hasn't been. Not for the faint of heart, so be careful if you're up there. It's easy to take a step and then you have to worry about more than sealing around a wire or a pipe.
And yeah, it's no fun to ride a rafter. Okay.
Yeehaw.
Yippee-ki-yay. Aha. All right. So the last one is number nine is upgrade your furnace. Average natural gas furnace has a lifespan of approximately 20 years. I don't know if Zeke or Scott would agree with that. I bet they would. They would suggest, well, when we're using heat pumps, it could be even less, right? A gas furnace tends to have a longer lifespan. But remember, we had a caller, was it last week or the week before? Is like, is this a good time to, you know, to get a new heating system or a new HVAC system? Because she was alluding to the refrigerant change outs and different things that we had talked about. And we're going to have Zeke and Scott in here next week. And I've already made a note that we're going to get the lowdown on all of that stuff. What is the new SEER rating? When is it going to be in effect? When can you sell the equipment and so on? But if you haven't changed your HVAC, especially if you're at the 20-year mark, this is the time to get somebody in there and look at it while the temperature is temperate and they're not The installers are not super, super busy trying to take care of, you know, the emergency stuff. So it would be a good time to get someone out. We suggest my guy's coming out on Tuesday, but twice a year, get your system checked. It's an expense, but it's worth it to prevent issues. And there's usually some benefits in speed of calls if you have service calls and stuff like that also. But so that's it. That's the ninth thing on our list of fall projects. So I think we got a couple things to do. And the good news is we're wrapping up this show so we can get right to it. Folks, thank you so much for joining us this week. Thanks for the great questions. We like to remind you each week as we wrap up the show, that David and I think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Please, please, please pray for the folks in Florida. If you have an opportunity to help financially or with your own talent, please don't pass on the opportunity to do that. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.